What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Man, I wish I had recalled to put this in What's Poppin'. I think we might get around to it. Gilbert Arenas, man. He's got that feds. He's got the feds-ish. And not the sports feds. This ain't Don Van Natta coming in. The actual feds. Yes. The real, like, .gov. The write-up that I read about him was on a .gov website. And I was you are in trouble, big fella.
I got the story for the mixtape.
Oh, good, okay, perfect. Good. Okay, good.
Excellent.
Good.
Thank you.
Because this is like mob stuff. And he's the mob boss.
Hey, let him tell it. It was just at his house, dog.
Yeah.
It was just at his house.
Although there are pictures of the Arenas Poker Club.
Well, you know, when you're at his house, you know, his name is big. You use it to say, look, that's besides the point. We'll talk about that, obviously. That's a great tease for 1:20 p.m. Yeah. Figgy's mixtape.
I was kind of impressed by once I start hearing the story. Yeah. I'm like, dang, he had all of that going on.
All right, see, that's not the take. You're not supposed to do that. You are influencing children right now. Kids are back in school, right?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I ain't think people could do all of that type of stuff.
It's called organized crime. Is what it is.
That is exactly.
It was very organized. I'll put it that way.
They put the organized in organized crime.
Yeah. It was organized as hell. I know Caesar's Palace probably looking like, damn.
We'll get to it. Figgy's mixtape.
Figgy's like, if Caesar's Palace got to be looking at him like, all right, if you don't go to jail, you want to come over here?
Damn, bro. You want to be ambassador for us?
That's funny. All right. Something that was also funny. It was enjoyable to hear C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a new Texan, a very excitable Texan. For this defense, he's already looked very good on the playing field. This was him sounding very good talking to the media yesterday after practice.
Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me in the back? All right, bet. And action.
How you liking it so far?
Hot.
Yeah. Besides that seat, though, what you guys are doing as a group in the secondary?
You do see a lot of young guys getting better, a lot of young guys actually getting to the ball. And camp, that's the hardest thing, is running to the ball, putting your hands on the football. So for Jay Reed, Jay Rock, all the young guys that we brought in, the buy-in, even me, I feel like I'm a new guy, a rookie, learning the playbook all over again. Just encouraging them, learning to know that we out here with you. We out here with camp with you. So whatever mistake you do, go full speed. But know that it's always corrections and learning points to get better.
Hardest thing in camp is to get your hands on the football, but today you guys hit by my count at least 3 interceptions.
6.
There you go. So how are you guys doing?
Encouraging each other and not caring who really touched the ball. A lot of groups fight for, I don't speak for everybody, but some groups you can tell like they fight for interceptions or they always worry about who got the next pick. But in reality, you play good football, the ball will find the right person in the defense. I think with a group of guys we got, we just want to line up, go play. And I think me coming here has made me realize that just playing football and the ball will find you is something that I like doing.
Now that you're playing, what's your comfort level? Now, I know you were upset, you got the trade and you thought you were situated with your family and everything. How are you now with your comfort level and getting your family situated here now?
Football started with Houston, so I'm here with a new chapter of my life. Like I said, I closed a chapter of my life with Philly when I went to ring ceremony. Everything we could do. Now I'm here, ready to play football with Houston Texans. Focus on my new teammates. That's the past. The more I sit and think about what happened, I will never be the best version of myself for this team here. So I'm happy. My family's happy. We're all good and ready to continue to go out here and have fun.
When you got the ring, you talked to before about this, how you want to win it this year, you want to win the next 3, you want to win it every year. How much did getting the ring tangibly just even amp it up a little more?
It didn't, because I don't play for them no more. I ain't defending nothing. I'm actually chasing it now.
Hungry enough.
I'm hungry. Like you said, they're prey. Like, I got to go hunt them. Like, they're champions. When you're a champion of something, you become the prey to a lot of predators. So there's no shot at them. It's just, you got to understand, like, when you switch sides of the ball, switch roles, I got to go hunt again.
What kind of predator are you?
I don't sleep. I feel like coming here, I got to get better. As a man, as a teammate, father, and whatever these teams call me to do, I'm here to put my best foot forward.
They said Sean never sleeps.
You may never know that. You don't know. But I'm fucking, yeah, you're right.
Is it different here than other places?
Nah, because football is football. Only time camp is different when you're not doing what you're supposed to do and you're messing up. You got to do the extra, come in extra to fix the corrections. But when you're actually doing what you're supposed to do, making the right calls, coming in early on your own time to sharpen up on tools and knives that you already have, camp doesn't change. Ball is ball. You're here for a whole month. Season start next week. Oh, well, next week. Next month. You got to understand, we got 14, 15 practices left. So the clock is ticking. So it doesn't change. You got to understand, the sense of urgency is high at all camp.
With the Super Bowl team before, what do you feel like those teams possess? What do they have better than
others? I've been on a lot of good Super Bowl contending teams. I've been on one Super Bowl winning team. I think, let's talk about the contending teams. They all have one thing in common. They're hungry. They're ready to continue to work. And I don't want to lay our bed or say anything to put anything out there, but this is a Super Bowl team right here. Super Bowl caliber team. You guys just go out there and show it week in, week out, and start from practice, and start from meetings. Everybody's a Super Bowl contending team because we all high caliber players in the NFL. So we go out there and compete. We got to understand who's next to us, who's across the ball, and we got to understand that this is a job for us. We got to get it done.
CJ, what stands out about this defense? What you like most about Nico?
We get the attack. He got the swarm mentality, I think. For me, playing the attack mentality has actually been good because the past couple of years I've actually been in the half and post, protecting the defense. But being a close-up to the line of scrimmage and doing interchangeable jobs with the guys in the back end, I'm loving it.
You got Trippie there at the end, and DeMeco talked about being the third-name patch and kind of start to see that. How have you seen like the intensity and competitiveness?
It's nothing personal. It can get chippy, but nothing can get personal. Thing when things get personal, that's when you don't get better. I think the best thing you saw from that, there was nothing after it. No extra curriculum. But like you said, extra in the past you will see the extra curriculum, but here we all have understanding. We're brothers. And I'll be the best coworker to each other and the best teammate on the field, because if not, I can't sleep well at night. I know I'm not doing my job for my teammate to help this team get better.
The belt celebration has traveled from Philly to Houston.
Say it again?
The belt celebration.
BJ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is and what that mentality is?
That's self-explanatory.
What is the belt to ask philosophy?
In the PG terms, out-competing, out-hustling, and doing your job better than your opponent.
Kim,
you said you get better in always as a man, as a father, as a player. At this point in your career, like, what does that entail?
Being honest. Looking yourself in the mirror. And waking up and saying, am I actually getting better? Am I actually taking the steps forward to become a leader? Not just for your teammates, yourself. You got to be able to lead yourself in the right direction, because if not, you're going to fall off. Like a lot of guys in the league, they get lost and understand that you got to make all the money, all the accolades, but you got to know how to control it. And the best way to control it is look yourself in the mirror and be honest. Are you doing what you need to do to get the job done every day? Are you feeding your family like you're supposed to? And are you legally staying out of trouble?
What's it been like going against this receiver group so far, and what have you seen out of a rookie like teammates?
Like the Daytona 500, we running fast every play. Everybody fast, all the cars competing for first place. We got a fast receiving core. I'm just going to be honest. It's probably one of the fastest cores I done seen. But they're a dynamic group with different skill sets. They're diverse, and they understand that CJ needs him. Well, they need CJ, and CJ needs them. And they work very well in practice, and we have our days. They win some, we win some. But today, we got the best of the NASCAR group.
Thank y'all.
Colorful.
Man. The day they acquired him, I loved him. I loved him then. I love him now. I think he's just so good for this team, man.
How about him messing around with Aaron Wilson?
That was awesome.
No, and honestly, I'm glad you mentioned that, because when he is messing around, like, it almost, and tell me if I'm wrong here or if I'm just doing too much, I almost feel like he had two different voices. You can hear when he is, I'm playing around, And you can hear almost like a switch. I am active. I am working. I am like very introspective, but we are trying to get better. I am talking about something that is serious here. And I am so intrigued.
Maybe the tone.
The tone, yeah, the tone definitely switches in that space. I mean, there was so many things that he said in there that I found to be very interesting. But
what was it? One. Pick one. Just there is one for me.
Okay. Go ahead and give yours, because I'm sure that we'll get to various of the ones as we talk.
We talked about this. I think we played the audio back when he was acquired, and we were talking about him, about being willing to do whatever. And in the Super Bowl, he didn't care about tackles, and he was playing the position smartly and not letting all. I think he said all I'd. You know, my whole role for us to win this Super Bowl was just not let anybody get behind me. Complete opposite here. He said, I am up to the line and attacking. And, man, when you have someone, I mean, he's still going to be obviously, you know, a safety doing his job. But I think they're going to give him more free rein to just be. And this word is used far too casually. I think it's just part of the vernacular now in the NFL. But he is a dog. Like an absolute, a true, not just being nice, not just saying it for the sake of saying it because it's a crutch. He's a dog, man. And I think he's going to make this defense even better. I think he's making this team, this defense even better. And to be able to have that role, he might just have a monstrous year.
Yeah, he did seem to relish the idea of, like, he said attacking as if he was like, yo.
I finally get to do it.
Someone gave me a gift.
They get me.
Really, the thing that enables them to do that is Kalen Bullock. Kalen Bullock is going to be a sort of iron dome over the top. He has the ability to range, and he ranges very far, and he plays the football well as he continues to even get better when his role develops. Mm-hmm. I think that gives your other safety, again, within reason. There's times you're going to be, you know, in cover two or, you know, four where he has to be over top still, but he's going to have more leeway and more room, you know, to roam and come up and use that attacking mentality and use that physicality and just like also the know-how that he has in diagnosing things and getting right to the point where he knows the ball will ultimately get to. That is so encouraging that you can hear the excitement to be able to do that in addition to knowing that with his history that he can go and actually execute those things.
Yeah, and belt to ass. You know, he was asked
self-explanatory. About I did love that he goes self-explanatory. I'm like, he was like, in the most PG way. I'm like, okay, so now we're just like, I don't want to talk about corporal punishment right now. Belt to ass is somebody getting whooped. We know that.
You need to explain with that.
He's so good for this squad. And they were good already, but I think he's so good for this squad.
Right, and it's funny because we've talked about one side of the good for the squad being, you know, just kind of the attacking mentality. There was a lot of, like, a calm leadership. Like, and I want him to use the word calm very clearly because 832, that dude is walking drama. I don't think so. Like,
not at all.
There was a number of things that you could point to that didn't feel disingenuous, by the way. They all felt very genuine with him saying, but that also highlight a guy who is very controlled. And you were mentioning that was part of what he was talking about with the Pivot podcast earlier
year
where he was talking about the Super Bowl is, hey, what I need to be right now is controlled. It's a big moment. Control is probably more important than anything else, jumping plays or whatever. I think that's ultimately what he was trying to get at. He talks about, he was asked about kind of things getting chippy between Rush Yeast and a few people. I think Donovan Jackson might have been involved there as well. He said, yeah, but we're professionals and it doesn't go beyond. It's not extracurricular. It's like once the play stops, this needs to stop. That is, you know, kind of talking about control. He mentioned, you know, kind of you needing to be honest, looking yourself in the mirror, controlling yourself and making sure to do the work, making sure that you're being the best version of yourself every day. Of course, I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing within all of this, but the big thing to me that came out from this is one, like he has that fun, but it's all about balance. It's one of the things that my mom is really big at that is like one of the things I learned from here. Ultimately, moderation and everything will get you very far. And it feels like there's a level of balance that CJ Gardner-Johnson shows that is so exciting for me for this team because, again, a D'Amico Ryan's team, there's a level of balance underneath all this.
Yeah.
But sometimes you could easily get to a place where you know, over-index on anything. I think he will be a great kind of like balancing factor. Like, hey, no, we want to play on edge, but just at the right amount.
Yeah.
Just at the right amount. I think he's going to be a good governor in that way.
No, I think he's going to be great for this team, like I said. But I also feel that don't be swayed by energy and think it is what the texters say, walking drama. No, he's got energy. He's intense. Don't let that influence what you think about him because he's not that.
And we were talking all about that, and I forget to mention that's high praise that he gives for the wide receivers.
Yeah, like, yeah, that too.
The speed on the wide receivers. And the thought I had was, I am intrigued to see how this team is capable of maximizing that speed. Mm-hmm. Because speed isn't immediately what I think of when I think of the kind of Patriots offenses that it feels like might have a level of influence on this. Speed isn't inherently what I think about either when I think about Sean McVay Rams offenses. So I'm interested to see, with all the speed that we know that this team has, how they're capable of trying to harness that. Because I'm very intrigued by that. But no, he's not wrong. There's a lot of fast guys here. I want to see how they continue to try and harness that. And I'm excited to get back out to practice tomorrow and begin to see even more in that regard. Shout out to CJ Gardner Johnson, CD as he likes to be called, as we listen to some of that here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're at that time where we typically do our lunchtime confessions, and we will do those next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
All right, here we go. I went to the dentist yesterday after the show.
Okay.
All good.
Everything good?
Yeah, all clean, no cavities.
No cavities.
All that. Now, I am going to have to schedule, I have an old crown and from when I cracked a tooth. And so they said, there's probably a little infection in there. If it doesn't hurt you, no harm, no foul, but you need to get a root canal eventually. So I scheduled it during the Texans off week. So I'll probably be out one day.
Week six?
Week six. at some point.
When they beat the Ravens?
But well, we'll see about that. But that's not my confession. While I was waiting to go into the dentist, to see the dentist, you know, you're just messing around on your phone, I took the Harry Potter test.
Oh, the sorting?
I guess because the Astros were doing that thing yesterday and all that stuff, to see what house you're in. And so for the record,
a Hufflepuff. That's crazy.
I answered all the questions. For the record, I'm a Ravenclaw.
Oh.
I have no idea what that
means.
You a
big Harry Potter fan?
No. I watched the first movie, maybe the first two movies, but then I'm not a huge, I just went. You know?
I read the first 2.5 books because I didn't get through the third book.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm good.
But,
I'm good on this.
So I'm a Ravenclaw for whatever that means. I have no idea. But I did realize something.
You in a group that people don't like.
Ravenclaw, is that right?
713-572-4610. Confirm what I said.
What does it mean?
I have no idea what any of y'all
are
talking
about. Slytherin was the one.
Oh, that's right. I'd be forgetting. Yeah. My bad.
But here's what I realized. The ladies in the front there at the dentist office.
The receptionists?
They were different things. Some were hygienists, some were assistants, some were receptionists.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I've known them for a long time. And they're like, oh, what are you? And so I told them. And I realized there's a certain element of the what sign are you to the Harry Potter thing.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
No, like not a certain element. That's what we're doing here. We're doing.
It's becoming the modern day. What's your sign?
Yeah, yeah. It is youth adult literature astrology. That's all it is. That's what it is.
And so I was like, it's kind of cool. I mean, they're like, oh, you're a Ravenclaw. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm a Gryffindor, and then somebody else said something. I don't even know all the houses or whatever.
It's four. It's Hufflepuff, Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin.
And Slytherin.
Those are the four houses.
So that's like the modern day what's your sign, isn't it?
Yes, without question. Like that is.
This is the first time I ever heard of any of this.
So you haven't watched.
I'd never forget my teacher in fifth grade. This is when the first book came out when I was in fifth grade. And she gave us a choice to either sit with her while she read the book.
Mm-hmm.
This book called Harry Potter. I never heard it. It wasn't a big craze during that time.
Yeah.
Or either you read your own book and do your own thing.
Yeah.
And then this lady gonna try to give us a pop quiz on it. I'm like, man, ain't nobody. It's only a couple of y'all reading
phone.
This book.
I took your phone, Lopez, for a very specific purpose.
Okay.
We just got a text from one of our teammates here at Sports Radio 610 that said, "I'm a Ravenclaw too." Who do you name that 610 sports radio personality who is also a Ravenclaw and decided to text us during a show?
Okay, so based on the questions I had to answer, I'm going to say, I want to say Seth.
Mm. It is not Seth.
Sean.
It is not Sean.
Tyler.
It is T-Mill. T-Mill said, okay. T-Mill said he is also a Ravenclaw and that Ron is a Hufflepuff. Ron. Why he knows that? No idea whatsoever.
Because of what I said, my confession. I think this is what you're going to be doing now, like on first dates. So what sign are you? What house are you? You know?
You anticipating having some first dates here?
I said what people are going to be
doing. Okay, I was just making sure.
But you never know.
Hey, look.
If I had the first date and somebody asked me that, I'm like, you know what? I got an emergency. It happened. I'm so sorry about this. I actually have to leave now.
I'm not going to say my hot takes about this. I'll let people, the Harry Potter fans, have their day. I am not proud of myself, is the confession that I have. But I am very happy about this thing that I know about myself, which is that I really enjoy not being a homeowner for this particular purpose. Mm-hmm. I was telling Lopez this earlier this week. Washed some dishes in the dishwasher, opened it up. I was like, they're not all that clean. And I looked at the bottom. I was like, oh no, it's pooling water. And I was just like, well, time to tell these people to come fix their stuff. Like, I was like, I love this. I love this about being a renter and not an owner, just being able to be like, hey, thing's broken. Y'all want to get on this and come fix it? So there's that. But I didn't put in the work order for a couple of days. So there was a couple of days where I did not have the dishwasher. And this is where I am not proud of myself.
Yeah.
I have hand washed a lot of dishes in my life.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Like growing up, my mom, we had a dishwasher.
We didn't either.
And I was the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And I very much can and am capable of it. And I have not washed a dish all week. And I have not cooked all week. I have just gone and bought food.
Yeah.
And that is the thing I'm not proud about. All it takes for me to avoid doing like basic chores that I do all the time anyways normally is the dishwasher breaking. Like I am this close to being the laziest MF-er you know.
But the good thing is you got it fixed and you didn't have to pay a penny. That's one of the things, man.
It's a beauty. It really is a beauty. Yeah. I do enjoy that about myself, but also I thought that I had gotten to a place where I'm like, I'm not that lazy. And all it took was just the littlest, there's a slight inconvenience in having to wash these dishes.
Mom's not here to tell me to wash these dishes. Like, I'm going to wash them.
Guess we eating burritos tonight, baby.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
I got to confess, man, I've been seeing this commercial for a couple weeks now, and I don't really understand the craze over this, man. So Sonnet, they have a thing called the Big Deal Meal, and it's pretty much a pickle meal. So you got some type of hamburger with pickles on it, and I think it got some pickle seasoning on it. And to top it off, you got some type of pickle slushy.
Ew.
With a pickle on the top of it.
Yikes.
This ain't like this is the new lemon pepper now, man. Oh. Where everything is lemon pepper. You got all this other stuff. I think, what was the place? I think it was Popeyes.
Mm-hmm.
They had something similar where it was just like a pickle menu.
Yeah.
And they had a pickle, I want to say it was pickle lemonade. I just don't get that. crazy over pickles. Like, I like pickles on a sandwich.
Exactly.
But that's about it, man. I understand people eating the actual pickle. Mm-hmm. Some people eat it as a snack. But I just don't get making them whole meal out of pickle. With pickle slushy?
You
don't knock it if you. Mm-hmm. I can't knock it if I ain't tried, but I just don't understand the pickle craze.
All right, look, I could have had that confession because I'm with you, and I love you. Reggie knows this. And when I mean, I put pickles on everything, but not as like a slushy and pickle in the meat and pickle it here and all that other
just
stuff.
Just the pickle seasoning.
That's
and
too much overkill.
Yeah. I just don't understand. I feel like this is really the new lemon pepper or the new hot chicken. Remember the hot chicken? Mm-hmm. The Nashville hot. I feel like this is going to be the new Nashville hot where everybody is doing it now.
There's a lot of things in this segment that I believe to be overrated. I'll let you decide which ones. Shout out to Jay Rizzo on the Twitch chat. Again, appreciation to Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams that said that big pickle lemonade was disgusting.
Okay.
Hey, you ain't have to tell me that, and I'm a lemonade fan. Mm-hmm.
That is incredible that's happened.
I'd rather just drink the pickle juice. Just regular pickle juice.
I've done that, and I purchased, especially when I was a kid, the pickle in the convenience store and just make it a snack. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that. I understand if you got a jar of pickles and then you got the juice at the end, some people drink it.
I have.
I can't I can't mix that with some lemonade
but not make it
a slushy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't get that.
Yeah.
Gross.
So I guess pickles are overrated.
According to Reggie.
Well, now somebody said 832, please try it and let us know. Sounds like you might have to do. Look. I'll say this, mm-hmm. as much as I legitimately am not a fan of like pickle flavor, I will eat pickle on certain sandwiches, like you said, like a burger, maybe mm-hmm. a sandwich, chicken sandwich, but I don't eat it elsewhere. If we do it as a family, as a staff, record label, and a crew, mm-hmm. I will try the pickle flavored stuff if y'all want to do this as like a thing.
I don't have any desire to get a pickle slushy.
Okay.
I just have none.
Or the pickle lemonade?
None.
Try it.
No. There's other things we got to try.
Probably got to get a pickle flavor ice cream or something.
Yeah. There's other things we got to try first. It's a long list. It's getting long.
Add it to the list.
Yeah. All right. So I'm wondering if I feel bad about this. That's part of the confession. But I also want to know, does this make me just not a good fan?
Yes. Wait, what are we talking about?
I'm out on Justin Verlander. Like, he's been mentioned here and there, as, hey, the Astros still have an eye on Justin Verlander. Now, it's not as deep a reporting as some of these other, candidates that we're hearing about on trade deadline day. Love him. Awesome. What memories? I'm good on Justin Verlander.
Strong agree.
Yeah?
Strong agree. It's one of the reasons why I was very mad at the Giants. Hey, get that man his wins, because I don't want him coming over here trying to get him over here. I just don't know that he fits what you're trying to do.
Right.
Like, he does not serve the purpose that you ultimately need. And that's the thing that's kind of tough about sports, is that at any given time, you can see a divergence of purpose mm-hmm. from someone that you would like. Hell, I was in the same place how many hours ago talking about Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Love seeing Carlos Correa as a shortstop for the Astros. I don't think that I want them to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it fits the purpose of what the Astros are doing right now. So JV, love him. I hope that he has that Astro star on his hat when that bus comes out mm-hmm. in Cooperstown. I just don't want to see him with that star on his hat right now in 2025.
What do you think they need to do right now? Like, do you have somebody they should probably try to go after at this point?
Well, based on what they're, we're talking
because
about.
Because they probably need a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you guys kept saying a left-handed bat.
Yeah.
Who do you think is out there that will fit that?
Well, I think the of the realistic names, that have been bandied about, I'm kind of leaning toward Alcantara, because a ground ball pitcher, can get things done like Fromber with this defense and on a team that's not going to score a ton of runs. That's where I would lean right now.
Well, I'm going to be honest. And, man, I got to find the right way to say this, because if I was in a group chat with my friends, I would say something that I wouldn't say in front of everybody. So I am up. I am excited for something that John Morosi, mm-hmm. MLB insider for MLB Network, has tweeted mere minutes ago. In fact, 5 minutes ago. And I will read this verbatim. The Astros are one team to watch on Stephen Kwan.
Oh, Lord, yes. I'm glad you said that, man. Oh, God, yes.
I think I mentioned it yesterday because I seen a report pretty much saying they were trying to get off of Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber, who mm-hmm. is Pretty good. I think he might have won a Cy Young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now Bieber, he went to Toronto. He's with the Blue Jays.
Okay,
now,
I didn't know he got
him.
Okay,
today.
Okay, it must have been not that long ago.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. I mean, but, it had to be at least within the last hour.
Because he was in the minor leagues. He was, doing some rehab pitching. I thought that would have been perfect. Mm-hmm. Get you a starting pitcher and a left-handed bat.
Yeah, no, Stephen Kwan, I mean, sign me up 100%. But he's been mentioned with several teams, including the Padres again.
He has.
Padres.
Padres have gotten some moves.
They've gotten a lot of guys. Yeah. And, I mean, he fits all the things. I mean, he's just... Yeah. Pretty damn solid defensively. He's hitting pretty well. Now, he is going to be like, he's not going to be a crazy slug guy, but, I mean, slugging 408 this year. So, yeah, man, I Stephen Kwan, sign me up. Sign me up twice, in fact. I like that one. So, I do love that at this late hour, as we are, again, within,
four and a half hours,
to the trade deadline, Stephen Kwan is a name to watch out for your Houston Astros. That's a guy, by the way, outfielder as well. I love the idea. Left-handed mm-hmm. outfielder. Guy that you're going to be able
he's
to get out there.
He's good too, man.
Yes, very good. He's been very good. An all-star in his right as well. So, I like that. I like that note. Those are your lunchtime confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said they're shopping in the bargain bin with Tommy Pham. Bleep that. They said they put that on the candy aisle like Lopez puts the brisket that he's not taking. He said, let me get that Stephen Kwan. I'm with you. We'll see if they actually get that across the finish line. But right now, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. And coming up next, it's a Thursday. It's not a Wednesday. Reggie's going to get that right eventually. Mm. But Thursdays, we do a little buy or sell, so let's do that next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Texans have the day off of practice. Excited for practice to get back going tomorrow. More pads. A number of you, and I have to apologize, actually, before I get there, because a number of you are saying that, are we going to see you at practice? And I've had a couple of people, surprising to me, to be honest, but shout, hey, Reggie, out there at practice. Trying to get my attention, and at least one, I said I was going to come back over, and I forgot, so I apologize, but if you are going to be out there, let us know. Let us know, and I will try and make my way over if I can. Tomorrow might be a little difficult, as you know, we're on the air. On Saturday, for sure, I'll definitely try and make my way over and say what's up, because we appreciate you guys. You guys are what makes Sports Radio 610 Houston's sports leader. And speaking of that, I got to make sure that I give you a little bit of an update, as it is deadline day.
It is.
In baseball, the Astros, according to Mark Feinsand of MLB.com, the Astros continue to monitor the starting pitching market, mentioning Dylan Cease and Sandy Alcantara included. But sources say Houston is currently more focused upgrading the back end of the bullpen with some of the top controllable relievers potentially in play for the Astros.
I like it.
End of the pen, really?
Not necessarily the back end, just the pen help. I like the fact that they're trying to really not stand pat. They're bolstering. They've already brought in, obviously one player.
Who's that?
What do you mean?
Who is the player?
Urias.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted
you wanted to hear me say it.
That's right.
Alcantara's in play. Stephen Kwan has my attention big time right now. It'll be costly, but he's big time. I think they're just, again, I think they're kind of in, we got to be able to figure out to manage some long innings with starting pitching.
Yeah.
Long relief innings with the starting pitching where it is. Create some runs, play better defense, and induce ground balls. They're a different kind of team. They've changed over the course of the season of how they try to win games.
But you're also you've given up a lot of your offensive firepower in Isak Paredes, and if who was it that reported that Nightingale is to be believed, mm-hmm. you're not getting that offensive production back. I'm not saying that you're going to make up for all of it. You got to make up for some of it, I think.
Sure.
And maybe Jeremy Pena making his return from Sugarland, hopefully mm-hmm. This weekend. I think that'll be good. That's not all of it, especially because he was part of, making the offensive production with Isak Paredes. I think you need to find a way to get some of that.
They're almost, what's a good word I'm trying to think of here? They're trying to become almost morphing into a combo of a team that can have some power and drive in some runs. If Pena's back, if Christian Walker, even if his batting average doesn't go up, he can still drive in runs.
Christian, I'm begging you, dog.
Yes.
I'm pleading.
Altuve. But they don't have a ton of those guys, so now they're sort of morphing into something else. I like what their game plan is.
Fair enough. But, adding to the pen, especially because even if you do get some of those starters back early on, you might get five innings out of some of those starters mm-hmm. back, the Javiers, the Francis.
But we've been talking about how right. they're eating up the bullpen
right.
innings.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. I think that you are right in that regard. Yeah. And if you didn't hear it on the other side of the break before we went to break, Stephen Kwan mm-hmm. has now been a name that's associated with your Astros as we careen towards the deadline for this trade, yeah. For the trades to be made this season. All right, let's get into some buy or sell here on a Thursday. Lopez?
Let's do it. D'Amico Ryans. We'll start with the locals, as we like to do. On the Texans' offense struggling, particularly yesterday, because he said this yesterday. It's not anything for me to pull out the panic meter about. It's just camp. Offensive struggles. They struggled probably, maybe not significantly, but definitely more than they've had success. Not anything to pull the panic meter about, but it's just camp, he said.
I want to buy it. I'm going to buy it. With the caveat that, but also, these are camp struggles that we could have foreseen because we were talking about in the offseason how you did not add to your mm-hmm. offensive line in a way that felt sufficient. And you along with Nick Caserio, were the ones that were telling us that competition is going to raise the boats.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now,
they're sinking.
They're not raised the way that I want to. So he's right, right? Yeah. There is a level of training camp. They just got pads on Monday, right? There's still some of that. We're seven practices deep in this, and I need to see that raise because you only got 20 or so of these mm-hmm. before we really get to playing more football. So, yeah, man, it is camp.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear you on that, and you have a new offense. All of that's developing. All those things are fair. However, the caveat is, you had an opportunity to do even better here, mm-hmm. and this is what you said, what you got settled on. So, you know, you can kind of understand where we are.
Yeah, I'm a buy it because I think he said what he was supposed to say, and
mm-hmm.
it is kind of early in camp to hit the panic button.
Yeah,
but me personally, I would hit the panic button a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. I would just probably
you're reaching for it.
Yeah, I got my hand hovered over the panic button a little bit. Because this is not a good sign. Either your defense is so elite
mm-hmm.
where the offense can't stop it, and that would be a good thing if you out playing other teams.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure about this.
I'm with both of you guys. I'm not gonna panic. I don't think it's time to panic. I think so. I'm buying it, but we expected more. We expected a little better than this.
Right.
Right. Next buyer sell Joe Espada. We all know Framber Valdez. Wasn't real happy with the defensive alignment after, was it the last start, right? His last start, the defensive positioning.
And Taylor Trammell, why are you out here trying to play center field, dog? Yeah. We got one of them.
So Joe Espada said that is in the past and that he and Framber had a good conversation.
I'm going to sell this. I believe that they had a good conversation. I have a hard time believing that Framber Valdez allowed that frustration to become known publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Like in front of media, he knew he was doing media. Obviously, he has the benefit of having a translator to give a second of his thought on what he's about to give.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew he was doing that in front of everybody. He knows that. He's a professional enough to know that. He decided to do that. That's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like even if he's like, all right, I trust you, Joe, or whatever. That's in there somewhere, especially as a ground ball pitcher. That frustration exists mm-hmm. in there.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm selling it too, man. I think it's some issue. This ain't the first time this happened. So I think right now he's a little frustrated. I can't sit here and say, oh, that's in the past. I think it's some issues ongoing.
Yeah, I'm selling it too because exactly what you said. He said it now, but he's probably been frustrated for a while with some of the things that
I don't think he would have aired it out on the first time ever. Right. It could have been some communications off mic and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But nah, I think it's been some stuff going on in the past.
How far do you think that frustration goes? Is that just like, hey, the manager and the way that shift is going?
Mm-hmm.
Is that just a general frustration as, hey, man, I'm a ground ball pitcher. I need the defense to stand up for me. Is that a frustration of, hey, I'm not getting run support and a number of these games are making me work a lot harder than I think I should? Like how far do you see that?
I think that's part of it. It's not the first time. I mean, I think we can pretty much agree on that. And I think this one hurt the most because he should have won that game. And 12 strikeouts and, you know, one run game, all that stuff. And I think the frustration just kind
of
built.
There was one more level of frustration that I didn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
That man is coming up on free agency.
Yes.
As well.
That's wild.
They've not engaged in conversation.
It matters.
I know he's trying to win, too. And I know their goal is to win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to get paid, too.
Yes.
Like, you taking wins off of my paycheck, pretty much.
That's exactly right. You're both right. All right, another buy or sell here with the Houston connection, and it's really made a lot of news across the country today. And it's a 1-2 combo from Daryl Morey, because he said, I'm going to give you two things he said, and they're kind of contradicting each other. The first thing he said, he told Joe Vardon of The Athletic that the Lakers bubble championship deserves an asterisk and was not genuine. That's part one.
Can I give him a little bit of help here?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was saying that he's heard that there's a number of people around the league that would view it as such, as having deserving an asterisk.
But later he did say
his stance, supposedly was that he views it as a full-fledged championship.
No. I read the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the way that I had read it. Maybe I read it wrong.
No, he did say that first part, but later in the story he said something along the lines, and now I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of a championship that deserved an asterisk. And he wasn't talking about other people. He was talking about himself.
Okay.
But then the second part, so let me give you the second part now before Figgy jumps in. He said later to Anthony Irwin of Clutch Points, and this is, I think, what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
He said, of course, I respect that title, because he was asked about the asterisk thing.
Got you.
I defend it to people all the time. So which one are we buying? Which one are we selling? You know, it wasn't genuine and deserves an asterisk, or I defend it to people all the time. I respect that title.
I'm selling it. I'm selling Daryl Morey himself, because, hey, man, you seem a little conflicted, big fella. Like, I think that the second part is I'm trying to clean this up so I don't make folks in the industry mad. But I would actually disagree with them. I think that's a full-fledged title, man. Like, it has its ups and downs. Every given championship is different because you're competing against different teams. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, the same organizations, but each team is different every year. Some championship runs are easier than others. We do not then, you know, tier them.
Yeah.
And even if I do not believe having to hole up in a Disney World mm-hmm. is easier. Okay. If it was, that's fine. They won the tournament. They are the champions. You do not discount that. I don't think.
I'm with you. Go ahead, Figgy.
Yeah. Like, what are we buying and selling?
You can sell them both. You can buy one and sell both.
Okay. I'm actually buying the first one. That I do feel like it's probably a lot of executives around the league that feel like that wasn't a legit championship. As far as the second part, I think he's trying to clean it up
Yes, he is. Let me explain it this way, Reggie, why I feel like I'm selling as well, of course. And if you live in Houston, Texas, and you talk about a championship having an asterisk, think about that for a second. You live in Houston, Texas, and you're talking about a championship having an asterisk.
No, I get it. I think we're talking about the year of our Lord 2017. Is that what's happening there?
Think about that for a second. Of course it was a legitimate championship. I'm with you on that, because that's the way they laid out the championship path. They can't go play in front of 18,000 people, you know, during COVID. That's the way it was. That's the championship path. They won it.
Yeah, I feel like that's how people kind of feel about the not the Dodgers' recent World Series, but the one they won where it was nobody really there, the short season.
Yeah,
because I don't think nobody go to that championship like, yeah, that's legit right there.
Yeah,
I think just for the simple fact the whole COVID thing, make it an asterisk.
Sean McVay on Matt Stafford, week one opponent, quote, he's still good. We're very confident he'll be ready to roll against the Texans.
What part of his body did he hurt?
That was his back.
Okay. You know how sometimes you'd be waking up and your back just be doing wild stuff?
Oh, this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. Yeah, man. Look, you can operate. It's what you have to say there. I'm going to buy it for that perspective. But I'll also sell it in the idea of they know. They work in sports.
Yeah.
The back is a very tricky and fickle kind of portion of a body to have to deal with. And that man's had a number of kind of issues of late.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have to be concerned, especially because the drop off from starter to backup is something else. I get it. Like Jimmy Garoppolo, whatever, man. But that's not the same as Matt Stafford. And when they've had not had Matt Stafford of late, it has been a very different team and a not nearly as good one.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy this one. I think he's gonna be ready to go. I don't know if he's gonna be good to go as far as that back.
I'm going to sell it because I'm not sure Sean McVay's sure. How can you? Because of the back. You know, you don't know how it's going to recover and rehab's going to go.
100%. And all of that kind of bodes well for the Texans. And even if, we're good for him being ready to go. You know who's possibly going to make it not good very quickly? Number 51 and number 55 for That's the Houston right. Texans. They're going to get back there and they're going to test them.
Yeah.
Are you going to be moving and contorting yourself? Or maybe are you going to be eating some grass on that SoFi
stadium? That would be great if it was Jimmy Garoppolo out there.
Man, you talk about going and getting your hands on the football. I imagine everybody in the secondary is just like, oh, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go get ours. Let's get six interceptions on the
ghosts.
Day. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, again, off day for your Houston Texans here. Of course, we're continuing to watch what's happening with the trade deadline. We'll give you updates as we get them. But what are you hoping to see as training camp resumes tomorrow? What do you still need to see seven practices in? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.